Well, it's very unusual for Saints Peter and Paul to fall on a Sunday. In fact, I can't remember the last time this happened. Usually after Corpus Christi, we just go back to green vestments, ordinary time. Not this year. Saints Peter and Paul, the two outstanding apostles of the church, are who we are celebrating today, and martyrs who shed their blood in witness to Jesus Christ and showing us what he's worthy of. Also, I think these readings are kind of especially appropriate. You know, my last weekend with you, I just have simple words, just a simple message today, which doesn't mean it's going to be short message, just simple. but everything that comes to an end, at every ending, if you will, in life, it is an opportunity for us to consider the end, like crossing the finish line. And although we have a long way to go until then, most of us, excuse me, we want to think about that. We want to have the end in mind, the goal in mind. And we have these readings where, you know, St. Paul says, I, Paul, am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He's talking about the reward of righteousness that he knows is waiting for him. Okay? He's not like, maybe I'll get to heaven. I don't know. Okay? That's not really a very pious Catholic thought. Here's my proof. Okay? I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Well, you should probably know that. Okay? From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will give me. So Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. He is about to be martyred, and he knows it. And almost in the same breath, he says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. If you don't know how he could be brought safe into the heavenly kingdom, safe from every threat while he's about to have his head chopped off by a sword, you're missing something. If you do see how those things go together, you get it. That's an important thing to realize, that what is he talking about? He's not trying to avoid the cross. He's not trying to avoid laying down his life. That's, in fact, you might say, something he's actually all for. He didn't want to die. Paul wanted to go to Spain, okay? But he was beheaded in Rome. At the end of Mass, I don't usually do the solemn blessing. In fact, I skip almost every solemn blessing, almost always. Okay, but today, it's just too cool. Deacon Ryan pointed out how cool it is talking about Peter shedding his blood on a cross and Paul, who offered his life at the blade of a sword, and how they both bear witness to Jesus. And so the solemn blessing is that triple blessing where I say something and then you say amen. Or people awkwardly pause because they don't know they're supposed to say amen. But you do that three times, and then so that just shows the reality for a Christian, and especially for an apostle and a martyr. It's not something that we will ever look back on and say, "Oh, what a tragedy! What a tragedy! He lost his life for Jesus." Oh. Let me tell you something. That is not tragic. That is absolutely not tragic. What's a tragedy is if you don't. That would be tragic. And I was reflecting on this yesterday. Father Brett Ivy had his massive Thanksgiving here. He was the celebrant. I was concelebrating. And I thought how fitting that was because the next generation of priests, you know, Father Brett, Deacon Ryan, they need to come in. They need to come in and they need to, carry the torch. I'm going to be old soon. Someday, I looked at these pictures of when I got here, that book that y'all gave me as like a going away gift. Oh my gosh, I was so much younger, and it's all your fault. someday, Father Ryan is going to be old, and we're going to need some more priests to take his place. Who could it be? I'm not just looking at them. I'm looking at some of you young men out there, too. The Lord might call you. The Lord will call you if you're called. He will do the one. He will be the one to call you. And I tell you, it is not a tragedy if you lose your life for Jesus. What is a tragedy is if you don't. Because there's no one else and nothing else that is worthy. And there's no other way you're going to have this much joy. That goes for all of you in whatever vocation the Lord calls you to, of course. So we have we have Peter and Paul, and I guess what I want to tell you is just simple. Compete well, finish the race. Run the race, no matter how long you've been running it. Some of you just started. Some of you have been running it for a long time. All right, and I'm going to actually use a couple of examples from the last few years, actually the last few months, just to talk about how all of you have encouraged me in faith, okay? And I really, my prayer for you is that you will continue to encourage one another in faith, that you will pray with each other, share your lives with each other, actually be brothers and sisters in Christ to each other in a way that you can't, we can't live this Catholic life, we can't live this life of discipleship without each other. That is why Mary and Elizabeth had the visitation. Okay, the visitation has nothing to do with the readings. The Lord is inspiring me right now to tell you, what is the first thing, you know, the first encourage in faith moment for Mary? It's Mary and Elizabeth, right? She goes to see Elizabeth, and they are so encouraged by what the Lord is doing in each other's life. That is the image of what the Lord wants more and more of for this parish. It's already there. He wants more of it. So I do want to say quite simply to you, you know, that it has been an honor to be your pastor these last 8 years, that I am very grateful to God for you, that there's no question in my mind, there never has been any question in my mind, that he sent me here. It was his idea, and I am so grateful to you for that. I'm so grateful to God for that, for you. And you have definitely showed me and helped me to learn how to be a priest. That's what this parish does, one of the things that this parish does really well. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, keep running the race. So, quite simply, how do we do that? We have to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who inspires our faith, who perfects it, brings it to completion. And we have to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, who gives us the mission. Okay, there's a very simple mission. You can boil it down. You know, you can think about the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's the kind of the wording in Mark. In Matthew, it's baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, making disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Okay, but if you want to bring it really, really simply, just think of the Our Father. The words of the Our Father, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. It's as simple as that. Never, ever lose sight of the reality of the world, okay? The world was created good. We were created good. But when Adam and Eve sinned, and when we all successively followed them, the dominion that they had, that God gave them, was given over to the evil one. Jesus actually calls Satan the prince of this world. So what does that mean? Because all of this is in the context of Jesus says to Peter, the gates of the netherworld, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. What is our mission? How do we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the mission he gave us? Okay, is to bring his kingdom into this world, which means this world before Christ is outside of his kingdom, right? Was created by him, but had been lost and handed over to the enemy. All right. There are two kingdoms. Scripture says you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And when Jesus arrives at the incarnation, what do we see? It's a divine invasion. God is bringing his kingdom and restoring the ones that he created back into relationship, back into communion. This is why we're here. We who have been rescued by him and brought back into his kingdom, back into his love, back into communion with him, also now have a mission to bring that love, that truth, and that communion into the rest of the world, into his kingdom. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. As you go about this mission, you know, Jesus said this to Peter, but I was asking the youth group, I was like, who did Jesus say this to? The gates of hell will not prevail against you. well, Peter, he said, well, who else? And I mean, it only took like 2 seconds. They were like, us. That's right. That's right. That is our mission. That is your mission. And the evil one cannot stop you. The Lord is calling you, and don't lose sight of the mission that we have as the church. Don't lose sight, first of all, of the communion that we have in Jesus. Obviously, our being brought into God's kingdom, and that's all, that is also a lifelong work, if you will, of our own conversion, right? We still want to bring everything before the Lord. But he's saying, I am actually sending you. That's what this feast is about. It's two apostles. Apostle means a sent one. He is sending you. He is sending you to bring his kingdom. That's what we pray for, and that's what we do. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. My prayer for you is that you will not lose sight of that mission, and that you will do that. And have your eyes, you know, fixed on the Lord, fixed on the one who has called you, who has chosen you. God doesn't need us. Isn't that interesting? He does not need us. But he has chosen you. And he's chosen you for this. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Compete well. Finish the race. A few of you, like I said, have responded with complete, like, all-out sprints. So some of you are pretty new to some. Okay. So Jen Cook just got baptized like a year ago, and she's like leading multiple Bible studies. Okay. I hope that for those of you who are like, oh, I'm kind of looking into this, or I'm kind of not sure, don't be afraid to dive in with both feet. Or I'm new to this. I'm all in, but I'm new. The Lord can use you now. Like, whatever you give him, he's going to use it. She's a great example of that. Another one, Tim Burke Sr., he's kind of on the opposite end of this. Now, he died a couple of months ago, and a lot of you were at the funeral, and so you might have heard this before, but I wanted all of you to hear this. Tim Burke Sr., Tim Burke's dad, okay? I'm going to go through this. Okay, when he died, he'd been Catholic his whole life, so slightly after dinosaurs were born. Okay, just kidding. But how did he finish his life? He finished it on a dead sprint. He was reading through the Bible in a year, and he wanted to get through the whole thing before he died. And he spent a lot of his last few hours with Tim, his son, reading to him from the book of Revelation. That's how he crossed the finish line. He was Catholic his whole life, but he was like, I am so committed to finishing the book of Revelation right now, that I want you, and Tim is reading to him. First of all, what a cool way to go out with your son reading to you about Revelation, which is a lot about the worship of God in heaven and about the end of all things, the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Like, your son reading to you about where you will soon be headed into the presence of God. That's powerful. But also just the inspiration of somebody who's, though they've been Catholic their whole life, he could have said, oh, you know, there's no point in cramming now. You know, oh, I'm a Catholic. It's the Bible's so hard to read, and I just never quite learned how. It's so hard. He didn't do that. He said, I have been Catholic for a long time, and the Bible is hard for me to read, and that's why I'm going to read it. And I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go in a complete sprint. I want to cross the finish line like that. That's how I want to cross the finish line. Also, a week ago, Deacon Ryan and I went with Mick Zamaron, who's sitting in the back with his wife, Lauren. We went a week ago to the Hell's Saloon, and you already know what's going on there, basically. I mean, we're there to bring the gospel to people who don't know Jesus, which we totally did, okay? But a year ago, so we walk in. So a year ago, Mick wasn't going to church, you know, and I went in. We went in, Deacon Ryan and I. Mick was already sharing. We interrupted him when we showed up. He was giving testimony to what God did in his life since I walked into the Hell Saloon a year ago and talked to him about Jesus. And he was talking to people, and actually it was really cool because I hadn't heard some things that you had said. I actually hadn't heard them until then. I'm a slow learner, you know. I was at Mick and Lauren's house, and Mick was like, yeah, I got healed of diabetes. And I was like, oh, I thought you meant like, you made better choices and your numbers went down. And he's like, no, my numbers went down overnight and I was making terrible choices, but it's gone. And I was like, oh, God healed you. He's like, I don't know, you're the priest. I'm like, I don't know, I guess. So we talked for a couple of hours, we prayed. He said, oh yeah, we prayed. And then I got to the door to the parking lot, like I got into the parking lot, and I was like in tears for the love of God. And I came to church. He's like, I was like, oh, I didn't realize it. He's like, well, that's why I went to church 3 days later. I was like, I guess that makes sense. Well, he's talking about all this, which I'll let him share the whole story with you. But what was cool about it, and what I think everybody needs to know, is that that's somebody, right, who, I mean, that's what we call baptism in the Holy Spirit moment, okay? Hearing the Lord speak, right? Hearing the Lord speak to him. And he's saying, this is what the Lord has done. And so Mick was like, I want you to tell me when the next time you're going to the Hell Saloon is. I told him, all right, well, it's going to be this Friday. All right, well, I'm going to skip work, and it's, what, Food Truck Friday, you know? So probably your coworkers loved that, but like some things are more important, right? And so there we were, bearing witness to Jesus. And that is one of the coolest things. And I think that is an inspiration to any of you too, who are like, well, I don't know, I've never done this before. I'm kind of new to this, or I'm kind of old to this. Whatever our reasons are where we wouldn't totally run the race, like run the race that you know you can run. Just let some of those examples sink in, whether it's Mick or Jen Cook or Tim Burke Sr. Like, these are examples of what the Lord is doing, but how you are responding to him. And I want to tell you, I'm inspired by it. I am encouraged by it. And I think I'm sustained by it even, because that is how we work. Like, we just don't do very well, just me and God. Certainly there are moments that are just me and God, but it's not supposed, that's why we're the church, we're together. It's supposed to also be with our brothers and sisters. My hope for you is that you will run the race, and that you will run it with complete commitment and not get complacent, not wait till later if you're new, not start to coast if you've done this for a long time, but run the race with perseverance, with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who inspires our faith, and Jesus, the one who brings our faith to perfection.